Welcome to the Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Joe Masato, joined by a very special guest today, the Oklahoman sports editor, Jeff Patterson. Jeff came to Chesapeake Energy Arena for the first time tonight. And boss, I would say you picked a pretty good one to come to.
Yeah, I feel like I won a contest or something being able to to come out here. But it was, it's nice to, get to a game in these COVID times. So no complaints. It looked like it was going to be a really ugly one. Are we still there?
We're all good. We're good to go. We're working through technical difficulties.
The
bowels of Chesapeake Energy.
Having some Wi-Fi issues, who knows? But, the game looked like it was going to be, a Bulls blowout. And then,
yeah,
lo and behold, 22-point hole is erased thanks to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. A huge night for him tonight. Career-high 33 points. I mean, what's your big takeaway from him, first of all, before we get going on the game?
Yeah, I mean, Shai was terrific. Mark Degnell said after the game that he was basically hungry on every possession. And I don't know if that's a word I would use to describe Shai on some of the games this year, just because, we've seen him not be passive, but not like go out of his way to go out of the flow of the offense. Like, he's been, a distributor, a scorer, a rebounder, but tonight, career high 33 points. He played 44 minutes. He was 13 of 19, 3 of 5. The Bulls just really couldn't get him away from the rim, and he scored the biggest bucket of the game. The Thunder were down 118 to 115 with 16 seconds left, and he drove against Kobe White, had basically a spinning layup just outside the rim, and won. So, Thunder were down by three. He converted an old-fashioned three-point play to send it into overtime. So Shai was great in the fourth, and then Lu Dort, I thought, was the other story of this one. He had a really big steal in the fourth quarter. He took a few charges. He finished with 21 points. He had 15 points alone in the third quarter. The Thunder went on a 25-5 run in the third. So Lou in the third, Shai in the fourth. I thought that was the formula for a Thunder win tonight.
As former Thunder greats Chris Paul tweeted a couple hours ago, Shai is special. Get to watch him for a long time. And yeah. Poor Chris, his son's team has had a lot of COVID postponements this week. So he's just sitting back watching some basketball tonight. Nothing wrong with sitting back and watching some hoops and, picking a good one with Shai. I mean, his scoops at the rim are just so, so perfect. I mean, just makes some really difficult shots. It's a treat to watch, really.
It was funny because earlier in the game, Chris Paul was tweeting about Zach LaVine and how good LaVine was. And he was, like, terrific tonight, 11 of 19, 8 of 14 from three. He had 35 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists. Like, Zach LaVine came into the night fourth in the NBA, I think, in scoring. But we know him as, like, a volume scorer. Tonight he was, like, so efficient. So it was just funny to see, like, Chris Paul tweeting about LaVine. And then later in the game, tweeting about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, his former teammate. So that was.
And wasn't Kobe White one of Chris Paul's kids on his AAU team?
Yeah, a camper. I think like half the NBA used to be a Chris Paul camper.
Well, yeah, I just remember from the game last year, which, here in OKC, it was a 26-point deficit. Granted, a completely different cast of characters who led that comeback, other than, SGA, obviously a part of that team. I can't remember what Dort did that night, probably not a significant amount at that point in the season, but it's, kind of crazy to have lightning strike twice and, in this arena with this team. It's what, the fifth biggest comeback in the NBA this season. Granted, it's only been, teams have only played a dozen games, if that, but.
Yeah, actually the second biggest this season, fifth in Thunder history. So tied the fifth biggest in Thunder history, second biggest this season. Shai had 33, Dort had 21, Roby had 14. Roby started tonight because Al Horford was out for personal reasons. I thought one of the most interesting in-game dynamics was Darius Bazley. So Bazley was questionable coming into the game with the right ankle sprain. He ended up playing. And he's, you know, he's been in a pretty bad slump. He started the season so well. Last five games, he's really struggled. Tonight, he was 3 of 12, only scored 9 points. He turned it over four times. And Mark Daigneault actually went away from him to close the game. Kenrich Williams played, you know, in the closing lineup in the fourth quarter. Kenrich closed the game in overtime.
And, Kenny Hustle.
Yeah, Kenny Hustle.
6 for 6 from the field, 14 points, 5 rebounds. Like,
and he's known for defense, and he did it on offense too tonight.
But can we take a hot second here to talk about Magic Mike Muscala? That dude is the dude has come up with some. I mean, you look at a stat line; it's still like nothing that blows you away.
Yeah,
but like he had quite the overtime. That's the thing. Like once this game got to overtime, you kind of felt like, all right, well, the Thunder, you know, whoever's going to score for the Thunder, they're going to somehow find the way to win after you chip away at that lead the way they did. And Magic Mike, you know, play the big role in OT tonight.
Magic Mike and Ken Hustle.
Kenny Hustle should be the all nickname team. you got a cast of characters.
You do have a cast of characters. It is kind of crazy, though, that the Thunder not only came back from 22 in this game, but also they did it without Horford and, you know, without Baisley to close. Like, you're closing big men, and there are, you know, Mike Muscala and Kenrich Williams. It just didn't follow a script that you would have expected in this one. Not a very happy homecoming for Mr. Billy Donovan.
Well, I mean, and it's the first home win for the Thunder all season.
In 323 days, I looked it up.
I mean, the crowd was really itching to go toward the end. I did like, I think Royce Young for ESPN, I heard him ask a question on the post game. I think it was to Kenrich about, you know, about if they fed off of that. I mean, I felt it. You know, not feeling from what the players, but like obviously the noise, the piped in fan noise definitely picked up. And it does feel so weird though. I mean, this is my first like in-person game experiencing that. So like everything is kind of a shock to the system.
Yeah.
I mean, you've had, you know, the preseason games and, you know, these 5+ home games now. I mean, what does that feel like to you?
It still feels weird. Like, I got a little used to it, I guess, in those couple preseason games when they played the Bulls. But, like, it just they almost feel like glorified scrimmages to me. It's like these are, you know, some of the best players in the world playing in empty arenas. There's, I don't know, counting, like, you know, media sitting in the lower bowl, there's maybe 30 people down there, and you know, you're hearing the fake crowd noise. They've tried to make things as normal as possible, but there's just like so obvious that it's not normal. I think there's been some really good reporting done on this nationally of like that, you know, the correlation maybe between no fans and all the blowouts this year is that like it's harder to mount some of those big comebacks that we're used to seeing in the NBA when crowds might not get behind you. Tonight obviously doesn't follow that script because the Thunder came back even without fans. But all you have to do is look at the records. Like the Thunder is 1-5 at home and 5-1 on the road. You know, Barry Trammell wrote a good piece that it's not just the NBA. It's Big 12 basketball is super strange this year with the road teams outperforming the home teams. That's something we never see. But what, you know, this was, you know, your first Thunder game of the season. You mentioned it a little, but what were your main takeaways of just being here in the empty gym?
You know, I'm glad they're doing this, and obviously you want everything to be as safe as possible. And I'm watching somebody spray down, you know, chairs down on the arena floor as we speak. So, I mean, there is that mental health aspect of, hey, we have games, you know, guys get to play, guys get to coach, you know, we get to watch, write about and talk about and all that. It is a very weird thing though. And you know, I didn't really know what to make of the Microsoft Teams, like fan screens, the virtual fans in the bubble. At first, I ended up growing to like it. I think, I mean, it was a good way to have that background visual. And I mean, I think a couple teams are actually still doing it this season. But I do wonder if that was an element that was like truly missing, because you know, you kind of grew accustomed to seeing that, and not seeing like anybody other than, you know, you're just seeing, you know, coaches and whatnot all spread out, and then the tarps covering the lower bowl. It's just definitely a very unique thing. It almost doesn't feel real yet.
I did like, I think, as far as watching, I've only watched the Thunder on TV on the road, so I haven't seen what it looks like here, but I think the bubble was more visually appealing. Like, they did, not only with the virtual fans there being in those, like, virtual seats and being able to interact with each other, I thought that was pretty cool. I didn't think I was going to like it, but I did. But also, when they didn't show the fans on those, like, digital boards, they had like the team's logo and like different chants that would pop up. So
like defense and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I thought that worked pretty well. And like here, obviously, you're, you know, looking at the tarp, or usually they're not even panning out that far. You're just looking at the floor, so maybe it's not a huge difference. But yeah, this season, you know, the Thunder has, I don't know if lucky is the right word. I don't know if like extra cautious or how to phrase it, but we've seen so many cancellations and postponements around the league. The Thunder obviously had their first game of the season postponed at Houston because the Rockets didn't have 8 available players. But other than coming to training camp with 2 positive tests, the Thunder has not had 1 player miss due to COVID protocols. And you're starting to look at the standings now. The Thunder is 6-6. If you look at the top of the East, you know, Boston's 8-3. They had 3 games already postponed. You've just got some teams playing, you know, 12 games, some 10. It's sort of all over the place at this point, and I think it's going to continue as numbers across the country spike.
There is that saying in sports, it's not who you play, it's when you play.
Yeah.
And, you know, from like football, like if you're going up against somebody like after like an emotional game or somebody's hurt, like you can catch folks at the wrong time. So like you see this Thunder team, they're 6-6. They're tied for, I mean, they're in a like 4-way tie at the moment for 7th place in the West. And, you know, in our preseason predictions, and granted the season's young again, 12 games out of 72. But all of us on our Oklahoman sports staff who did NBA preseason predictions had the Thunder going like 20-52, basically.
Yeah, that's what I picked.
You know, you're 14 wins away from hitting that. And you just wonder, like, all right, well, if they catch some teams at the right time, like, is this a team that can, you know, somehow stay in the race? And is that a good thing given the need to draft high? You know, that's a thing that obviously fans are debating on Twitter.
That is the fan debate on Twitter. Everyone is wondering if the team is too good to tank. Barry and I sort of talked about this to close out our last podcast, but I still think it's way too early to worry about that. I don't think this is going to be a team that by the end of the year is even close to competing for one of those play-in spots. You just look at the teams behind them in the West. The Grizzlies probably aren't a lot better with all the injuries they're dealing with. The Rockets, I think, will, even after those trades, will finish ahead of the Thunder. The Kings, I think, are better than the Thunder, but, you know, close. The Pelicans are definitely better. And then you have the Timberwolves down there at 3-8. They're quite bad. But I still think the Thunder is looking at, you know, being a bottom three team in the West. I will admit my preseason projection of 20 wins is going to be too low. I think it'll be closer to 25 or so, but I still don't think it's going to be still something crazy. Like, you know,
I've been watching a lot of 30 for 30s recently. I like finally caved in and signed up for ESPN Plus, and you know, I rewatched the Shaq Penny Magic Moment one a few weeks back, and I just remember a line, and it's kind of fitting because here the Thunder are 6-6, and I think it was the Magic's inaugural season that they started out 7-7, and like the fans are throwing a parade. Basically, it's like it's the best start by an expansion team in NBA history, and then they won like 7 games the rest of the way, or whatever it was. So, like, you know, in this sport, like they, I mean, in any sport really, things can snowball, and especially if you end up trading, you know, some of your veterans like Hill or Horford at some point, like, you know, that could happen easily. So,
yeah, I still think there's an extended losing streak or a couple extended losing streaks to come. I still think it's early, but they've no doubt outplayed those expectations. So we'll close it out there. We'll be back with you guys Sunday to recap Thunder versus Sixers. Have a story coming out soon about 12 trends to watch that stand out at this point in the season. So look out for that, and we will see you Sunday.